Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 97. It's going to be an angry fest this week. Fair warning to those of you with virgin ears. I'm not too sure it's going to be that for my co-host, but it's sure as hell going to be that for me, especially if Skype keeps boning us like a cheap hooker. Joining me this week, as always, is Glacinator.
Hello.
Also joining us this week, as per usual, it's John.
Hey, hey, and happy freaking New Year. Angry version.
There's also, by the way, no truth to the internet rumors that John is abusing a team of Yetis to shovel his driveway. Those rumors are false. We just want to clear that up now.
Yeah, the rumors that I'm actually ever really angry are also false.
That's because you're Canadian. I think you're all just born nice. Hey, for an ugly American like me, my first trip to Canada, it's like, wow, people really are as nice as they say. Like down here in Los Angeles, people don't stop and say excuse me when they stab you. They just stab you, take your wallet, and run for it. That had no point, but you get the idea. Yeah. Down where Glacinator lives, we call that like Little Canada because people are really polite.
Yeah, they're really polite, but then they might shoot you in your dorm room as well, you know. It's a little bit of both worlds.
They're also super polite if you're white and heterosexual. Anything else, you might be deep shit. At least that's been my experience. And if you're a good Christian, that's bonus points.
Yep.
So,
hallelujah.
Me being a sort of white guy, non-religious, that can grow an afro, it was rough a couple times. now that we're done trashing the South. Oh, God. Glacinator, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I haven't played that much this week, but a few days ago, my roommate hacked our Wii that we have in our room, and he got the homebrew channel on it. And so the first thing that we downloaded was Brawl Minus, and Brawl Minus is a mod for Super Smash Bros. Brawl, which is the Nintendo fighting game. And basically what it does is that it makes every character in the roster as crazy overpowered as possible. And it's hilarious because since every character is so overpowered compared to what they used to be, it actually makes the game more balanced because there's no bad character. And so we've just been playing that a lot. It's a lot of fun just to pull off some crazy combos and smack people off the course and pull off ridiculous finishers. And I assume we'll probably be getting some more mods on it as well. You can download alternate courses. We saw a really cool course online where it was actually the final boss battle from Ocarina of Time, but as a level. So as you fought on the stage would change into each of the different stages of when you fight Ganondorf and you'd like go down the tower and everything. It was super cool. And there's also different skins too. There's a Ronald McDonald skin for Captain Falcon, and there's also a Billy Mays skin for Ganondorf. So I want to play as Billy Mays as Ganondorf. That would be awesome. And that's what I've been playing.
I probably should be doing the show and not playing video games, huh? Fucking now you can hear the sound. Hold on. Let me mute that. Okay.
What are you playing?
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I'm playing a new iPhone game that was...
Okay.
I follow a certain... Well, I'll get to it in what I've been playing because it's actually pretty funny, and I'm going to insult more people. John, what have you been playing this week?
Well, before I get to it, I had no idea that Super Smash Bros. Brawl was still a relevant thing these days.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely for college kids. I mean, we grew up, our first fighting game for most kids my age was the N64 Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of like what all kids my age play is just Smash Brothers. It's the big party game, so...
Cool. No, I know. It's, I mean, the Smash Brothers is huge, but I just, you know, that where it came out.
It came out 2006 or 7.
Yeah.
I mean, what else is there to play on the Wii? That's four players, you know.
Not true.
Well, and that's the thing, John. I mean, I went to a lot of parties, like 4 or 5 years, nerd parties, whatever you want to call them, 4 or 5 years after the original Super Smash Brothers came out, and it's just a fun party game. You know, we kind of tend to overlook that before the Wii and before Kinect and before Move, there weren't that many, like, group party video games. Mm-hmm. So, like, for my friends and I, it was, like, Super Smash Brothers or WWE No Mercy.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
I mean, games don't last that long, so you can cycle in a bunch of people, and you can set up tournament brackets, so you can get a lot of people in on the fun.
Exactly. Sweet.
So, to what I've been playing, I finally finished Bastion, something that I should have done a long time ago, which it was a cool little ending. It was pretty short, but the for those of you playing the home game, I made the save the guy and save the Bastion choice versus the other, and which led to a pretty cool final sequence, pretty epic stuff actually. So I won't say what it is, but it was pretty cool. So when I finished the game, that unlocked New Game Plus, which is allows you to play through the game again, but you keep all your upgrades and your weapons intact from your first playthrough. So the playing through with all your stuff makes supposed to make the game a little bit easier and a lot faster, so you can plow through most of the levels pretty easily. So that you can, I guess, so that it allows you to get to the end of the game again and make the second choice or a variation thereof. So I started a New Game Plus game. I'm stuttering over my words, but instead of playing it on easy and flying through, I decided to apply these things called the idols in the game, which are really enemy modifiers which make enemies tougher. And so they'll do things like they'll randomly regenerate health, or sometimes they'll disappear and you can't hit them. Or if you kill an enemy, it drops this little bomb, so you have to kill it and get away before you get hurt. So it makes things a lot tougher, but the end result is an increase in experience points and the tiny shards that are used as currency in the game for buying weapons and potions and yada 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 yada. So it's pretty fun to go through the easier levels that you're all familiar with and just you know, slaughter guys, but it's also fun to have a little more of a challenge. So I started doing that, much to the chagrin of my wife, who gave me some shit for doing that rather than finishing Zelda, which is a game I haven't touched since the Skyward Sword. So I popped that into the Wii and fired it up, and so I spent an hour in Skyloft trying to figure out what the hell I was doing back in November. So I once I finally did, and I was down in the forest area. I was at the point where I had to find the water dragon, and I went down there and I found him, and suddenly I'm getting tossed a fetch quest to go and find this healing water, so which required me to go back to an old temple which now had new enemies and get that water for the dragon. So first time I get back, I dive right into a fetch quest to somewhere I've already been. So I don't know. It's still a great game. I want to get over this hump, but coming back after 2 months and jumping right into somewhere I've already been was a little bit, you know, I don't know if discouraging is a word, but maybe a little bit. So finally, the other game I've been playing, of course, is Rock Band 3, which I'm apt to do pretty well on a weekly basis. But what's different this time is that I was at EB Games last night, And I miraculously found the symbol expansion set. So that's three symbols used for $10, and that's a pretty good deal. I think they normally go for $30 or $40. And to be honest, you cannot like these days, I guess with the downfall of the music genre, you cannot find used Rock Band gear at any EB Games. They just won't take it. They might sell some, I guess, but whatever's left over in their stock. But they of the used stuff, I mean, and these symbol expansions, like brand new stuff, you cannot find it. So finding this on the shelf was a complete miracle, and I let out a very audible gasp from across the room when I saw it there. So I went over and I got that, paid the $10, got it home, set it up. My drum kit is a complete monster now. I feel like I'm the Neil Peart of music games. The problem was, when I started it up, one of the cymbals didn't work. And so I found out very quickly why it was only $10. And because I bought it used, I knew that I had no way to prove warranties or nothing like that, you know. So I decided to try to do something about it myself, as it only cost me $10. So if I broke it, it wouldn't be too much of a loss. I still have the other two to work with. So I went on the Rock Band forums looking for some do-it-yourselfer tips to try to fix them. There was some people had some handy-dandy photos of what they saw inside and what they had to do to fix them. And luckily for me, I didn't have to do any rewiring or soldering of busted wires from what I saw. But all it was that the sensor inside was... it's hard to describe. The sensor's on a spring with a piece of foam on top, with a piece of plastic on top, held, and that plastic is held down by four screws. And for whatever reason, it was held down too tightly so that it really wasn't picking up any vibration because it was just completely squat. So once I loosened the screws, wham, bang, thank you, ma'am, and it worked just fine. So I played a few songs last night with my full cymbal accompaniment, and played through some of the training for pro drums. It was a lot of fun, actually. A little bit confusing because the way that the Rock Band, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Rock Band, but there's four channels of the gems that come down, the square shaped gems that come down for the colors of the pads. But now with the cymbals, some of them are the same colors, so you have a yellow, blue, and green cymbal. And what happens when you have a cymbal crash or a hi-hat rhythm, instead of a square jam, if they want you to use the cymbal, it becomes a circle. So it's kind of and then all the pads, the regular pads, become your various toms and stuff. So it was a little bit confusing to get used to, but once I got the hang of it, I flew through the training pretty quick. I'm on the hard training stuff now. Got an achievement in Rock Band 3 for the first time in a long time, so that felt good. And so I'm hoping, maybe I'm being overly optimistic, that Rock Band 3 will, now that I have some cymbals to accompany my drum kit, I'm a pretty good Rock Band drummer, and I'm hoping that maybe having the cymbals will get me another step closer to being a real drummer. And that's what I've been playing.
When you hit the cymbals, do they actually like wobble, or do they just stay still?
You can adjust the nut that holds them down to if you want them to wobble or not, or tilt, or whatever way you want them to work. The only risk if they wobble too much is that it'll register like a double hit rather than a single. But you just have to tweak it a little, and figure it out.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Yes, everybody speaks and nobody has a panic attack. as to what I've been playing, first we'll get to the one I was playing and couldn't get stopped fast enough when Glacinator got done, so there was dead air. That's Jetpack Joyride. Now, Jetpack Joyride is a free iPhone game from the fine folks at Half Brick, makers of Fruit Ninja for everything. I think Fruit Ninja is probably like second to Angry Birds on being on almost damn near every device known to man, including a calculator. It's a really fun game. I didn't pick it up quickly because I follow on Twitter, and I have a few on Facebook, some true hipster dudes, art and indie croissant crowd guys. Now, while they're various unclever and supremely unfunny whining and ranting about popular things such as football and Valentine's Day and how dare people have fun at frivolous shit, they are good for some games. The trick is to know whether you should dive in first or whether you should wait a while because they're just overstating their case. With Jetpack Joyride, I should have dove right in. I blew it. It is a blast to play, especially if you're not super comfortable with a touchscreen, because it's really simple. You're a dude with a jetpack. You press the screen, you touch the screen to make him go up and down. You collect coins, and you avoid obstacles, avoid missiles. You can collect different vehicles that he can use instead of his jetpack, and you basically try and see how many meters you can go. Well, it says M by it, so I'm assuming it's meters. And you just do that over and over and over again. But much like Angry Birds or Fruit Ninja or any of those, yes, it's super repetitive. Yes, it's just kind of an addictive time waster. But kind of in the vein of what Glacinator was talking about last week, the scenery changes as you roll along. You make it 1,000 meters, you kind of move into a little garden-esque area as a background, so on and so forth. And for a completely free game, it's a hell of a lot of fun. Glacinator, if you're looking for a new one on for your iPhone, I definitely try out Jetpack Joyride. I'm probably gonna quit playing it for the rest of the show because it just keeps screwing me up and the show up. Also, I did some Minecraft this week. Trying to get some videos out the door. That may happen. Then again, it may not if it keeps pissing me off. Also played Zombie Pandemic. Yes, that's correct. You heard me, somebody who's a little sick of zombies, say something about zombies. It's a browser game for Google Chrome, and I wrote a full review-esque, or at least a guide to it, on our website, wonderpodonline.com. But to give you a quick overview, it's basically if you took an MMORPG and smashed it face first into a point-and-click kind of adventure. That's Zombie Pandemic, and that's why I'm playing it, because it's kind of got dice rolling elements of D&D. It's point and click. It's really simplistic. Yes, it has RPG elements for the RPG unlovers out there, but they're really not pushed in your face. It's almost impossible to get lost, and it's just a lot of fun. Now, it is a free-to-play or freemium game. So that basically means that you're stuck with a thing called stamina points, where you, once you use those up, you're done for a few hours. You can buy shit if you want. But the thing about it is even though there's 50 zillion people playing this game, you never notice them unless you join a clan or something like that or interact with them on your of your own excuse me, let me say that again, on your own terms. And the Facebook game aspects really aren't shoved in your face. You know they're there. You know you can buy stuff with real money. You know you can buy, weapons and stamina points and all that, but they don't really just drive you crazy with it. And so I enjoyed the game. Chrome's game store or app store with the game section is turning out to be a lot more poop and very little gold. So my Chrome game series may not last super long, but this is one that's definitely worth your time if you like any of those elements. And like I said in my post, if you don't, it takes about 10 seconds to install and 10 seconds to uninstall. So it's not like you're really being bothered by it. Finally, and this is the one where I'm going to get into some ranting, I'm playing Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. From here forward, it will be known as KOA Reckoning. It's an RPG. It's done by 38 Studios, who coincidentally is owned by the former baseball pitcher, whose fucking name escapes me. Hilarious, too, because I can't stand the prick. Oh, God damn it. Anyways, just take my word for it. It's a baseball pitcher. He's a prick. I can't stand him. Never could stand him. Curt Schilling. So it was slightly difficult for me to fork over my money to a studio he financed, but I'm glad I did. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning is a really great game. It's much more cartoony than most Western RPGs. While it's open world, it's not Bethesda open world, which I'm going to get more into in a second. And on top of that, it's more of a brawling RPG. I'm currently playing as a rogue. And man, some of the combos and crap that you can do in it are like they're out of a fighting game more than they are your standard hack and slash RPG. Which, of course, leads to the one thing so far that I cannot stand, and that's enemies pulling the standard cheap ass fighting game crap of, hey, look, I'm hitting them 5, 5, 5, 5 times. Finally, out of nowhere, they hit me with a super punch and knock me 40 feet backwards. Yeah, I've never understood that crap, never will understand that crap, but it's not very annoying in this game. Thank God. It only happens once in a while. And for once, a developer learned that it's usually nicer to your players to allow them to spam combos and spam the living shit out of stuff than having the enemy spam the living hell out of you. So I'm seeing the game get eights, roughly eights, all around the internet. I, at this point, about 14 hours in, tend to agree with that. Maybe I'll have a different opinion next week. It's feeling like that I could probably finish the main storyline if I chose to in about 20 hours, 25 hours. But given how many side quests and other things of that nature there are, I'm seeing, and the developers claim, roughly 100, 150 hours of gameplay. Nah, it's not Skyrim number of hours. But then again, folks, it's not Skyrim, which is a good thing. And after having sunk as many hours into Skyrim as I have, and after having to wait for Bethesda to patch it again to see if they fix shit so I can go back, I'm kind of liking this. So I've got a list of shit I've been seeing around the internet here that really teed me off. Let me find the, see, art style. You know, I've seen some people gripe a little bit about the art style. Funny thing about that is Todd McFarlane, the comic book artist, is the designer of most of the characters. Some of the NPCs are a little shaky, but for the most part, people are liking the art style. It's a little more cartoony. I've seen people talking about it being Fable 1-like or Fable 2-esque. Yeah, a little bit, but more kind of, especially a couple of the cities I'm at now, more reminds me of some of the Outland stuff from WoW than it does Fable. But either one is a good way to describe the art. Let me get to some of the bitching. Oh, yes, repetitive. Oh, this is such more repetitive game than Skyrim. Oh, really? Yeah, you know, you RPG idiots that try to use the term repetitive gameplay to bash an RPG you don't like, shut up. It's all repetitive. The big thing in Skyrim is dragons. Well, let me tell you what, Sprinkles. After the killing, like, my second or third dragon, it was no longer terrifying. It was no longer super challenging. It just became pretty repetitive, as did a lot of activities in Skyrim. But repetitive does not mean boring, and it does not mean unfun, as some of you cock monkeys are trying to claim. And KOA, as far as I can tell, or from what I've played, is no more or no less repetitive than any other RPG I played in the last, let's say, 18 months to 2 years. So that would include things like Two Worlds 2. That would include things like Skyrim. That would include things like Oblivion. That would include things like Dragon Age, which, you want repetitive, go play Dragon Age. You'll figure out what repetitive really means. Let's see. Oh, yes. It's not the same open world. Skyrim did it so much better. Yeah, again, piss off. It's not a Bethesda open world game. And apparently that's what people expect in total now when they hear the term open world, is something along the lines of the Elder Scrolls series or Fallout. Having played both The Saboteur and Just Cause 3 last year, I can tell you that Bethesda is really the only one that does the exploration open world games. There was some exploration in both those titles I just mentioned, but not to the extent Bethesda does it. But here's what I've noticed about KOA Reckoning. It doesn't have glitches, and it does not have broken bits in it, which I think is a byproduct of Bethesda letting you explore the world and jump and do whatever you so desire. And to be honest, considering I'm waiting to see if Bethesda is ever going to patch Skyrim so I can finish a couple quests that I'd really like to finish, and I don't have to do that as of yet in Reckoning, I'll take their version of open world, which is massive, and yes, you can't jump, but I'm okay with that. To keep this a little shorter, the last one I want to touch on, and I saw this twice, and it really fucking pissed me off, was lockpicking. Oh, they just copied Skyrim. Oh, they just copied this. Oh, it's so boring and stupid. Really? Yes, it's similar to Skyrim's lockpicking, but guess what? Skyrim's lockpicking was similar to almost every damn RPG I've ever seen. And you know, doing a lockpicking mechanism or a lockpicking minigame that's effective and challenging but not butt-ass frustrating is impossible. If you want to see an annoying, massively frustrating lockpicking minigame, go play Two Worlds 2. If you can play that and say it's fun and challenging, I'll listen to you bitch about the lockpicking in KOA Reckoning. If you can't, then shut the hell up. Or it could be like Mass Effect, where if you rub enough gel on here, Ray Charles can bust into this locker. You know, so, I mean, I just get so sick and tired of it, because this game is not Skyrim. It will never be Skyrim. Bethesda has this market, and it has this, not market, damn it, this just reputation for making truly massive, be even beyond what I would consider open world games, and they've done it with all of them. They've done it all the way back to Morrowind, which wasn't the greatest RPG in the world, but the damn thing was huge. And to my mind, Skyrim's great, and I love it, but KOA Reckoning is a wonderful palate cleanser, as John says all the time, away from Skyrim. It's fun, it's brighter looking, it's more laid back, it's way more cartoony, and it's perfect for that. If you're going to sit there and compare it to Skyrim, I got one or two pieces of advice for you. Either stop it and just enjoy the game, or shut up, put the Skyrim disc in, and play frickin' Skyrim. Ugh. Fucking assholes. And that is what I've been playing and bitching at. There you go. Told you, gentlemen, and I'm just getting warmed up.
well done, sir.
Well, because it is. It's just, I knew it was going to happen, because this game's, as much as I hate Kurt Schilling, this game's by a smaller studio, not well known. I think like Jim Sterling and one other guy in the mass, huge audience media were really, you know, kind of hyped for the game. Mm-hmm. And it deserves a much fairer, you know, it deserves a slightly fairer assessment than just immediately comparing it to Skyrim. And I wouldn't have brought it up if it had been just the you know, 12-year-old nutsack maniacs who don't have a brain in their damn head. But I was actually seeing some people who really should have either just kept their mouths shut or found a better way to be constructive in their criticism. It's a lot of fun, John. If you like RPGs and you ever get through your pile of shame, pick it up when it's on the cheap. It's especially the fighting game aspects. I think you'd like that. I know I am.
Yeah. So did I read correctly that you got the Shepherd armor for Mass Effect in it already?
Yep.
Cool.
Yes. That was the other thing I did. This is going to stab a dagger straight in Glacinator's DLC hating heart. I had like 320 points left over. And so I bought the day one, like, fitness armor for Rogue because I had that points laying around. But truthfully, greedy consumerism aside, it was interesting to see if that kind of like DLC actually helped you, you know, playing it on normal,
mm-hmm.
Enough to make it worth the points. And I'd say it's kind of a wash. I mean, the armor and weapon I got wasn't super, super long lasting and helpful, but it got me through my first five levels with probably less pain if I'd been wearing like a burlap sack and crappy boots. But yeah, I do have the Mass Effect armor. It's low enough in requirements that I can wear it as a rogue, but it's kind of stupid wearing it as a rogue.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably play through again as a warrior. And funnily enough, if playing as a rogue character, at least, I'm probably taking more tips or more things I learned from being a rogue in World of Warcraft than I am from any other RPG to play this game. There's nothing like being able to sneak up on a rock troll and stuff your daggers straight up his poop chute and watch him come out of his mouth in like one hit. Because, I mean, that is one thing where if it's a little overpowered, the backstab damage in this game, if you actually, I guess it's a reward for being able to sneak up on shit. Because the animations are just, oh my god. I'm not too far from being anatomically correct what my rogue does with the daggers when you backstab somebody. Because it starts at the bottom and it just comes out the top of the head somewhere.
Oh.
It's awesome. It makes you want to sneak. As much as I don't love stealth games, it makes, especially the big, big, big creatures like the you know, the trolls, and there's this other thing that looks like a two-headed orc out of, or a two-headed ogre out of World of Warcraft. Oh, the other thing too, for all you RPG designers out there, I want one creature from AD&D's creature set retired. Can we please retire kobolds? They're just done.
Retire the what?
Kobolds.
Kobolds.
Yeah. Oh God. See.
Uh oh.
Well,
is it slippery slope?
Well, no. It's just a creature type, and they're like the kind of below mid management enemy. You kind of throw them in there when you don't know what the fuck else to throw in there, and they've been in everything. From let's see, I don't think they were in Skyrim, but they were in Oblivion. They've been in World of Warcraft. They were in Two Worlds 2. They were in Dragon Age, I'm pretty sure. Somebody'd have to fact check me on that one. I mean, they've just been around forever, and they were in every D&D campaign I ever played as a kid. I'm a little sick of them.
Pardon my ignorance. How do you spell it? I want to look it up.
C-O-B-O-L-D.
B-O-L-D.
Wow. I know you play some RPGs. I figured you'd know what they were.
Oh, okay. I get hits with a K. All right.
Did I say okay. C? Did I say C? I'm sorry, dude. Yeah, I meant K. That was me being an idiot.
Okay, they're like little imp things, or lizard, depending on what you're playing.
Yeah, they kind of made them look... Well, they're actually, if you were going to be Sonic's legs too long fanboy, they're kind of actually a little tall in this game, but... It's like, really? You guys couldn't have made some new enemy out of thin air? I've seen these bastards. Like, I probably killed a million pixelized kobolds at this point. I know what it was. What was the hell was that other RPG I was just freaking playing? Torchlight? Maybe it was Torchlight, where they're all over the place, too. Glazinator, have we killed you off with the RPG and DLC talk?
No, I feel like I should be saying words, but I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, see, you're never going to earn your true nerd card until you at least sit down to a game of D&D or play some kind of RPG in some format. I tried telling Pat that, too, and he just told me to go play in the fucking highway. I guess Zelda counts. We'll let that go as the RPG ticket punch on
Pokemon.
On nerd cards. Yeah, Pokemon. Although you're not in dungeons a ton. Oh, that's the other thing I do love about KOA. After about your fourth completely dark, creepy, and wet dungeon in Skyrim, at least me, I was like, okay. I'm just trying to get through them as fast as fucking possible. The guys that made Reckoning were at least willing to, like, put some natural light in there, use a couple other colors other than black and gray. And I really appreciate, you know, they actually understood that ferns with a little bit of light and some water running down a crack in a rock wall, that ferns and moss will grow and they're green. So, yeah, if you want an RPG that's pretty, then this one's definitely for you. All right, let's move on from what we've been playing. I got to save up. I got to get a drink of water and save up for some more ranting here coming later in the show. But not for our discussion topic. Our discussion topic actually popped in my head last weekend. It's really going to be difficult for me to explain. This may be one of those ones where I explain it and they're both going to look at me and go, or they're both going to speak into their microphones and go, I don't get it. So I'm going to do my best to explain this. It's not going to be because they don't get it. It's going to be because I can't explain it well enough. Now, we all know that there's gamer stereotypes, right? You tell somebody you're your gamer at times, and they automatically picture like a 400-pound sweating nerd who's never had made love to a woman and has never seen the light of day since like 1986, right? Recently, I've been meeting people of various and in sundry ways that I don't know. And twice during this period, let's say from like Christmas time till just a couple weeks ago, the subject of hobbies has come up. And in both cases, I mentioned that I play games, that I'm a video gamer, that I do a video gaming podcast, that kind of thing. And in one case, it was okay, cool. In the other case, this person went from looking at me like I was a semi-intelligent, although slightly ugly human being, to what I just described 30 seconds ago. Although I can guarantee you I'm not 400 pounds. I'm about 200 and some, about 200 pounds shy of that. So my question to you gentlemen, and I think we'll start with you, Glacinator, because you're younger, although I do know you run in a nerd pretty large nerd herd. Have you ever at times felt like, whether for vanity reasons or just to save yourself the hassle, felt like not telling people you're a gamer when the subjects come up, or do you just pretty much go all in and don't care?
Oh, well, I mean, it depends on what type of venue, I guess, you're introducing yourself in. I mean, like, if you're, like, at a crazy college party and some hot girl comes up to you and goes, "Oh, hey, what's your name? What do you do?" Like, "Oh, I'm Glazinator. I play video games and I'm on a video game podcast. I'm so cool." You probably don't want to do that. But if someone comes up and introduces themselves and you start talking for a bit and it's more of like a casual thing, you're not trying to impress anyone, then I'm like, yeah, sure. I like video games a lot. I'm an animation major, so, you know, it's like what I want to do as a job. So it depends on who you're talking to, I guess. If I'm trying to impress someone, I wouldn't necessarily lay that down.
So vanity does, for lack of a better term, and if you'd like to find a better term, feel free, but human vanity does kind of play a small part in it for you then.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good.
A small part. I'm not too big a part, but I'm willing to admit it does.
Well, yeah, you and I are about in the same boat, and I'm feeling way less like I'm on my own fucking island than I was 5 minutes ago. Mr. Kehoe, you've been around this gaming racket about the same length of time I have, and it's, you know, the stereotype's gotten less as we've gone on, but it was pretty bad about a decade ago. Are you like Glazinator and I, or how do you handle it?
Well, I tend to lean toward the same. I have no shame about my video game habits, which is getting bigger and bigger by the year, but I kind of treat it the same way as my wrestling addiction, pro wrestling, and being able to talk the ear off somebody about wrestling, talk the ear off somebody about games. But my approach is, I kind of, you know, I'll mention it and kind of see what the crowd person's reaction is. If they kind of get into it too, then I go all out. But if, you know, I'll say, yeah, I play games, you know, a lot of fun, right? And I'll never hide it, but I won't, you know, bitch to some brand new person about the last fetch quest I had to do in Zelda. I'll say that I do enjoy, you know, playing video games, and it all depends on the person I'm talking to, because like you were saying, you know, you got a funny look for saying saying you're into video games so much, and you know, I'll try to avoid that, I guess, I'll offhandedly say, and then wait for the reaction to my offhanded comment about it, you know. But sometimes you can get surprised and to find out what people were into.
I think it's a very human reaction. And to a certain extent, what makes it worse for me is it's like my body is split down the middle. And on the left half, I'm kind of the ag cowboy guy. That's my day job. And on the right half, I do this shit. And the two halves just really don't cross. Hardly at all. You know, it's two completely different demographics. And so it's a little easier for me in some respects, but at the same time too, I'm kind of like you guys, in that it depends on who I'm talking to and what my goal is. I'm like Glazinator when it comes to, like, you know, pretty women. Yeah, I ain't fucking mentioning it. Not if I can help it. You know, it's like, there's time to figure out creative ways to tell them about that later.
See, but because I can spin off artistically if I need to, if I stumble over that, like, "Oh, you play video games?" Be like, "Oh, yeah, no, just artistically, though. I'm an art major."
Lion sack of shit, but it's brilliant. I'll give you that. It's brilliant. And it's completely, it's bullshit, but it's valid bullshit.
Yeah, it's total BS, but...
Have you... Now, I've got one more question to kind of draw this topic out just a little bit, and then we'll move on. Start with you first, John. Have you ever... When asked directly about it, have you ever lied?
No. No, I mean... I might as well be lying about myself, because, you know... I've heard it said, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, we all are the shit we're into. So if I say that I don't like wrestling, I say I don't like video games, I'm just covering up who I am. So I'll always admit it. I might not go into super hyper detail, but I'll never deny it.
Clayson, same question. When asked directly about it, have you ever lied?
No, and I don't think I could, just because I have so much of a game person presence, I guess. I mean, if you see me walking around campus, I have a Twilight Princess book bag. I'm probably wearing like a Mario shirt or something. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to say, oh, no, that was a total lie. I don't know what you're talking about. I hate video games. What's book bag? Well, let me just throw this on the ground. Like,
what? What's a Triforce symbol?
I think you're a little too, I think you're still a little too young for Uncle Bruce to have the discussion with you how if you ever do want to get laid, some of that shit's going to have to go away, but remind me in another year or two. Yeah. Unless you got to put the Triforce bag over her head, then Godspeed. I said it. You know what? I'm kind of like John. I can't fucking do it. There have been times where it probably would have been better for me to have just lied. But about things that I'm passionate about and about things that take up some of my time. See, I'm even too vain to say this, how much time this shit takes up, because it can be a lot.
Well, I'll tell you something. I've talked about video games in job interviews.
Really? I've never to do that one. But again, that's the two worlds. Most of my job interviews have been on the other side of the fence, so I didn't have to worry about it.
Right. They ask you, well, what do you do to blow off steam? What do you do to relax? And, you know, that'll be one of my go-to answers. Yeah, I'll play video games.
That's where I use the gray area wiggle room, because video games is number two of my, just shut my brain off, blow off steam hobbies. But number one's fly fishing. So, see, I can kind of use the gray area to avoid, say, if I want to. Most of the time, if you say both of them, it throws them off. They don't know what to think. So I can kind of get away with doing both. But it's fun to talk about, because I think as gamers, we all go through this where I don't think vanity's the right word. Maybe it's self-consciousness, where you hesitate for a second, if nothing else, before you say, yeah, you know, I do. I mean, all my close friends, no matter what side of my life they come from, they all know, they all know that there's two halves to my life, or however you'd like to put it. So that's fine. But I just, like I said, it's been more in my face recently. And so I'm kind of, oh my God, John, I was just doing the fucking John Cena thing. You can't see me.
Fuck.
Anyway, so I just thought I'd ask you guys. We've talked about stereotypes a couple times on the show before, but I think it's interesting. Of course, then again, you know, Glacinator is a fine, outstanding young man. Even with the Triforce book bag, he looks extremely normal. And without getting it up too much, handsome. So I don't think he has to worry about that. You know, when you're 400 pounds in a Sailor Moon outfit and there's not a convention around, you probably might want to talk to somebody about it. Just maybe. I don't know. Okay. Let's move on to Audio Master G. He's got a question for us. And I don't want to hear one word from the listening audience about the timing of this question. It's not his fault. It's not my fault either. It's the fucking calendar's fault. Deal with it. Take it away, Audio Master G.
Hey, hey, Audio Master G here. How's the WPO crew doing? Well, another Super Bowl is in the books, and wow, what a game. Who would have thought that team would have won?
Lies! You pre-recorded this before the playoffs were even over.
Okay, busted. I did pre-record this, but when it airs, Super Bowl 46 will have taken place.
This is a podcast about video games. Why are you talking about football?
I'm trying to get to that, jerk. See, there is something quite related to the Super Bowl, the NFL, and video games, Evil G.
The Madden Curse!
Yep, the Madden curse. See, for the last 15 years, every player who has graced the cover of that year's Madden video game has had a piss-poor year and likely suffered a serious injury. After 1 or 2 years, you'd think, oh, it's just a coincidence. But after 15 years, well, this curse is a thing of legend. So, I've got a few questions for you to tackle. First, what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl this past Sunday? Second, what's your take on the Madden curse itself? Is this overblown or maybe eerily accurate? And finally, since it's related to superstition, and many athletes are very superstitious, do you have any of your own as either an athlete or a gamer? That's about it for me, so have fun with this one. There's a lot of ways you can spin it. Audio Master G, out.
Tonga, Tonga!
Hey, G, glad to hear from you again. I have to admit, I did not watch the Super Bowl, so I really can't say much about it. I know my Twitter feed was full of tweets, so I kind of turned off the Twitter and popped in. Me and my two buddies, who are also non-football friends, decided to watch the 1988 science fiction classic, They Live, starring, I'm sure you'll appreciate this, Rowdy Roddy Piper. And the movie was really, really good. But as far as the Madden curse goes, it's really interesting, and how, as you say, eerily accurate it is. Because if you look at the years between the people who have appeared on the covers of those games and then getting injured soon thereafter, yeah, it's a bit weird. and I'm glad I'm not a football player of any kind of merit. So anyway, as for my superstitions, in terms of gaming, I was just trying to think of one earlier today, and does being obsessive about game saves count? You're going through, you go to an area, and you immediately jump onto a game save and hit it right away without taking the chance of moving on. You're just so paranoid. And is that a superstition? I don't know. Or for example, I also save multiple copies of my game saves. So let's say like BioShock. I think at the end of every chapter of BioShock, and probably BioShock 2 for that matter, I save a fresh game save slot just in case I wanted to go back and do something else, or in case I miss something, I realize my mistake. It's just, I don't know if it's paranoia or superstition. So I have like 20 or 25 game saves in BioShock sitting on my Xbox Drive just in case. I mean, that philosophy doesn't work if you're playing Zelda when you only normally have 3 game save slots. But if it's an infinite number you can have, better watch out. How about you guys?
Well, for the Madden, it is interesting to see the correlations with players and on the cover, but it was broken. So, you know, I'm from Louisiana, and they won the Super Bowl back in 2009, 2010, and the quarterback for the Saints, Drew Brees, was on the cover of it. And next season happened, and there's this whole hubbub over the whole summer, like, oh, Drew Brees is on the front of Madden, he's going to get hurt next season. It was even in the local newspaper, like in New Orleans, like about this video game curse, in the official newspaper. It was ridiculous. And of course, nothing happened. I mean, it's a weird coincidence, but there is no correlation at all. So I'm not worried about Madden curse at all. It's a bunch of ridiculousness. But in terms of superstitions myself, I don't really have as much anymore since I'm older, but when I was younger, I had a few. And the major one I remember, and a lot of my friends and kids my age did this too, and it was in when you went to throw a Pokemon that went around, you held down the A button, and as soon as the ball like closed, and then like press B like 3 times, and then you'd open press A again, it would push the Pokemon every time. And of course, this was a bunch of BS, and this never worked. But you'd have kids like in school like trying to hold down the A button, and then like, press B 3 times really fast, say again, like, I didn't do it fast enough. it better next time. And that's one I remember. And the other one I remember is from my younger brother. And whenever we played Mario Party, he would always have to be player three. His controller had to be put into the player three slot on the N64. I have no idea why. He just said that if the player in the third player slot, he would win. And he usually did win, but I don't think because he was in the third player slot. So there's just weird things that go around. None of them are really true, but they're interesting.
Hey, Audio Master G. I did watch last weekend's Super Bowl. It was an okay game. Commercials weren't great this year. Madonna actually put on a halftime show that wasn't annoying. So that was kind of weird. The game was really kind of anticlimactic. Yeah, fuck. Anticlimactic, though, because I watched the one in 07 between these two teams, and that one was going to be pretty hard to top. As to the Madden curse, I was going to say what Gleisnader said. It was broken by Breeze, and then I think Breeze was, or somebody else was on the cover again and had a great individual season. You know, I forget how long they've been putting specific star athletes on the covers of Madden, but I bet if you did data over the entire period, or if you waited another 15 or 16 years, the curse probably wouldn't be as prominent. When you have a sample size that small, it's more likely to be true. And of course, I tend to not be huge into curses and superstitions. In fact, just the opposite. Gaming superstitions, I really don't have too many. Although John mentioning his multiple saves, I suppose that might fall under superstition. And I do that, but mostly because I've been boned way too many times by forgetting to save an RPG on PC or console often enough. In fact, it happened to me last night in KOA Reckoning, and that's when I just shut the console off and went to bed. But athletic superstitions. When I was competing in various and sundry athletic endeavors, I hated them. All these people rooting out about wearing the same socks, wearing the same kind of underwear, doing this, doing that, lucky pennies, lucky rabbit's foot, lucky dildos. It all pissed me off. So I did everything in my power to do the opposite, or to mock and make fun of the people that did have all these superstitions or lucky charms and this and that, except one time, right before a ski race in high school. And guess what happened? I tore my ACL while slalom racing. So I'll leave it to you, Audio Master G, and the fine listening audience to decide if the reverse superstition fix was in or if it was just happenstance. But truthfully, in any of this, I really don't have routines or things I like to do or things I touch or superstitions. I've always thought they're a little bit silly. I don't want to say they're more than silly because I really don't want to hurt the people that believe in them. But for me, they've just always kind of been nonsense. And I tend to more think that if I'm well prepared for whatever I'm doing, I'll be just fine. And things like blowing out your knee are going to happen whether you're superstitious or not, if the circumstances are right. But this is an awesome question, Audio Master G. Really appreciate you checking in. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week. All right, got some stories for you tonight, folks. We're going to do the two angry ones first, and then a happy one. Attention, G and Patman. The happy one at the end you're probably going to love if you don't already know about it. Let's move on, or let's do the first one. Xbox 720 pre-owned games block would be fantastic, says dev. Gamers will grow to understand it won't kill them, claims THQ designer. Well, no, it's not actually a THQ designer. It's a designer, which is pretty far down the damn totem pole at Volition. His name is Jameson Durrell. If you find listening audiences like to find his email and, you know, send him a few nasty words, I'm not stopping you. I don't have his email address, or I would have sent him a few nasty words. I'm going to scroll through most of this crap because it's bullshit, but here's the part that really pissed me off. Especially given this is a rumor of a rumored console. Oh, and for those of you that don't know, supposedly the rumored Xbox 720 will not play used games. Ooh, the industry's going to do an evil used games market. Here's what he had to say. People often don't understand the cost that goes into creating these huge experiences. Yeah, you work for Volition. That we put on the shelves for only $60. They also don't realize how much they are hurting us when you buy a used game, blah, blah, blah. Skip down. The truth is, they aren't concerned with how this business is affecting us. He's talking about gamers. So why should I care how these changes will affect them? Hey, Jameson. Got a little message for you, dickhead. I'm going to make me think twice about buying anything from Volition, and they made Saints Row 3, as far as I know, I think. So, yeah. Here's an idea, THQ, design companies. Little message from me, Bruce McGee. You want to shut these guys up? Do you want to maybe, like, edit their comments? Because all you're doing is pissing gamers off. We get it. You think the used market's evil. You're putting online passes and everything. Shut up already. Jesus Christ. And like I said, we've talked about this kind of crap before where I've screamed at designers and even higher ups than this third row monkey. But this is a rumor on a rumor. It's not even fact. It's just rumor on a top of a rumor. Okay, I feel better. John, care, move on. Want to add your two cents to this jackass?
Yeah, I think the fact that this is a news story is questionable in itself because, like you said, it's a rumor on a rumor. Like, is that really news? You know, I bet that the... I don't know what the fuck. But
make it a double negative and mean it doesn't exist?
Yeah, it probably does. But for this guy's comments anyway, I mean, you gotta watch it because, you know... Consumers are fickle creatures. I mean, sometimes, like he's saying, "Well, what do I care if they gotta spend a lot more money? You know, I get more money." That's basically what he's saying here. So, yeah, you gotta watch. You might think that, but man, you kind of don't want to be being so offhanded with your customers. I mean, I don't know.
Gamers as a consumer base suck at protesting with their wallets. We've proven that how damn many times now. But I'm telling you, I'm getting annoyed enough to where I'm going to start protesting with my wallet. And if I'm the one guy with, if I'm the only one doing it, the one crazy guy with the world, the end is nigh sign wandering around the town square, so be it. Because I'm just getting sick of this bullshit. Because there's a real simple process that not enough people take advantage of. Shut up. Don't say it. Say it to your cat. Say it to your wife. Say it somewhere where it's not going to become news. Because what's even more annoying than commenting on a rumored feature of a rumored console is the fact that, like John just said, it's news. It's not. Clay Snyder, would you like to add anything to this gentleman's moron?
Okay, well, anyway, my main point was that in this age, you have to compete with free, and that's what you have to deal with. And if you can't, if your company can't deal with that, and stop complaining. You know.
Great, now I'm muted. In other words, what you're saying is they're going to have to compete against piracy, which is, in other words, free, if you keep backing gamers into a corner.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. Again, it comes down to don't say it, because you know the news blogs are going to run with it, especially the ones that are just looking to drive traffic. And then you're going to have John and I scratching our heads going, why in the fuck is this news? Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, normally I would have passed up on this stuff. I even passed up when the original rumor about the no-use games came out. Because it was a rumor about a rumor. But then this jackass just was the final straw. Let's move on from one jackass to another jackass. EA COO Peter Moore. I don't know what the hell happened to him. Man, he's lost it. Where the hell were they? Were they at the DICE? Oh, no, it was on the last EA earnings call. Yammering about their numbers for Battlefield 3, which apparently sold 10 million. That's good. But let's see if I can pick out the juicy quote.
There's more ways we can monetize Battlefield 3, I think was the...
Was that the one where he said, yeah, basically, oh, here it is. But EA knows it can do an even better job of monetizing Battlefield and other shooters. Perhaps an elite-like service is in the wings for Battlefield. Moore was non-committal, but he says it's incumbent upon EA to do something, or better yet, to get one step ahead of action, yada, yada, yada. Here's the thing. Moore, as per usual, was talking in riddles and demon tongues and other COO speak, which I can translate if somebody's willing to hit me in the head with a hammer every 5 seconds. I do have the business training. I just, it requires a hammer to dislodge it from where I've stuffed it so I don't have to pay attention to it. John, this isn't going to be so much for you, but Glacier, let's start with you. Are you going to still participate with Battlefield if they try an EA version of COD Elite?
Well, COD Elite is basically DLC. It's stuff that's not packaged in the original game and they add on later for an added price. And I am sure you guys all know how I feel about DLC. So I don't need to go into that. And last year, me and Bruce were very, very critical of COD Elite, and we will be very, very critical of whatever the Battlefield 3 version of this is. I will not be buying this or whatever new service they tack on to that should have already been included in the original game. So, I mean, there really is no point in doing this, first of all. And second of all, I don't even have internet in my freaking room, so I can't even get online with my 360. So there's even less point. But this whole article is pointless. And that is what I say.
I don't necessarily have the problem with DLC that Glacinator does, because I don't necessarily believe it all could have been crammed onto the disc initially. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I played PC games where expansion packs, you know, 8 months, 9 months later were pretty commonplace. But here's the thing, EA. And again, I may be a one-man army, but if you do this, if you get as stupid as Activision in your lame petty feud with them, I'm done with Battlefield. I'm just done. I have walked away from one or two shooter franchises already and felt totally comfortable with my choice. And while this one would pain me immensely to walk away from, I'll do it again. Because all you're going to do is roll all the DLC and Battlelog into a crappy service for probably the same price Activision's asking for theirs. And I see no point to it. I could take that same amount of money and probably go play Star Wars The Old Republic for a year. Maybe even pay for half the download. So, unless you're going to give me an MMO-like experience, I'm not paying a subscription service for a fucking first-person shooter. Simple as that. So you better think twice, EA. You're walking down a road where you're going to end up a lot of your hardcore fans in a place you're not going to like. Because your true fans, your fans that have been playing the Battlefield series for a long time, like Glacinator and I, aren't COD idiots. We're comfortable with walking away. Now, I'm not speaking for Glacinator, but I bet between college internet and that crap. And sadly, just like I said last year with online passes, I said it. I'd be more than happy to dig up the show I said it on. When the first online pass came out, I said, you watch, they're all freaking going to do it, claiming they're combating used games. I mean, it was easy prophecy. I mean, it's called money. It's not difficult to prophesize when you're talking about making an extra buck. John, so that you can actually get in on this topic, if EA does this with Battlefield and it becomes kind of a trend with shooters for subscription for additional things, could you see it moving into games that you may give a shit about? Or is this something that's going to stick with shooters?
Well, I think it will probably depend on the numbers of people who are actually playing the game. I know people who... I don't know. The short answer is that it would drive me crazy if my game started getting into subscriptions for things that, you know, if it restricts my enjoyment of the game, or I feel I'm getting left out in the cold because I don't want to pay the extra money to access this stuff, then yeah, not for me. It would rot me pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I'm not giving them $60 for single player. And I mean, the single player in Battlefield 3 was okay, but it wasn't worth $60. So, I mean, it's either going to be just give them up entirely, because I'm not going to spend for the multiplayer. Be honest. To be honest, I'm surprised they didn't get to this faster. Because all the evidence they needed to see that the lemmings would fall for this was MMOs. You know, in the early days, before MMOs were actually worth it, I just, you know, I played on, like, Trials and anything else I could get my slimy little hands on. With EverQuest and Ultima Online and stuff like that. But now they're actually making, you know, MMOs that are maybe worth the price of buying the game and then buying a subscription. So I suppose we get to consider ourselves lucky in one respect that the stupid assholes in the first-person shooter genre didn't pick up on it faster. No, do it, EA. And that's the thing. That's the sad thing for people like Glace and I. It's painfully obvious they didn't learn from the fact that they didn't unthrone Call of Duty this year, and they're not going to until Activision drives it in the ground, like they have Tony Hawk and, you know, Guitar Hero. So, there you go. Two angry ranting ones, and I kind of was actually a little nice about the Battlefield thing, but it's pretty simple. I'll just start dropping them. Excuse me. I'll either find a new first-person shooter to play, or at this point, you know, I'm not going to shrivel up and turn into a pillar of salt if I take a fairly extended break from first-person shooters. Okay, finally, tonight, let's do some happy, or a happier story. This is a rumor, but attention, Patman and G, who I both think, Audio Master G, who I both think will enjoy this. Star Wars Battlefront 3 rumors resurface. CV, or for those of you in America, resume and job ad indicate it might still be alive. A new job listing and CV have suggested that Star Wars Battlefront 3 is in development at Spark Unlimited, the studio that is most known for creating Call of Duty Finest Hour and Legendary The Box. One title I've heard of, the other I haven't. The job listing was spotted by PlayStation Lifestyle, and it calls for a senior combat designer for a third-person action-adventure sequel. And then there was a job post on LinkedIn for a AAA third-person shooter using Unreal and Kinaps AI middleware, blah, blah, blah. It was supposedly in development in 2010 at Slant 6. LucasArts isn't talking about it. I really hope this is true. I'd like to play a Battlefront game. I don't care if I got to play it on PC. I don't care if I got to play it on console. I'd really like to play another Battlefront game. So while I wouldn't recommend getting your hopes super up, I should at least shed a little bit of sunshine into your life, possibly. John, we talked about before the show how you couldn't get your PC to run Battlefront 2, but I suspect that if these rumors prove out true, you would be a purchaser of this title.
Yeah, it's pretty fair assumption. I do like me some Star Wars, and I do like me some high quality Star Wars. That being said, I haven't gotten in on the new MMO because I don't have that much time on my hands. But yeah, I would be all over this.
Glacinator, I'm not really sure on your stance on Star Wars. I know you're not the super nerd like Patrick, nor the middle nerd about it like me. Battlefront 3 sound interesting to you at all?
Well, Battlefront 2 was actually the first serious, I say serious with air quotes, serious PC game that I ever played. Before Battlefront 2, on my PC, all I really had was Roller Coaster Tycoon and Midtown Madness and Hasbro Tonka Wars, some stupid game. But I really liked Battlefront 2. It was really my first, like, toe dip in the pool for any kind of shooter game whatsoever. Other than my computer, I just had Nintendo systems, and I only really played Mario and Zelda and Pokemon and stuff. So it was a sort of a new thing for me, and I loved it. I loved the space levels. I loved all the, you could be the Jedis and Sith, and you could be Chewbacca and all that stuff. It was awesome. So I would totally buy this, and I would jizz my pants if they said it was for Mac 2, but that won't happen, so I will be sad face.
First off, I had no idea you actually had ever used a PC, so learning something new there.
Oh, back in the day, all those years ago.
Yeah. You're young enough that I'm pretty sure there was at least a Power Mac around back then. It's not we're talking. We're not. It's not like we're talking the Apple IIe era. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking this is if this happens, I would suspect it's going to be across all platforms. As far as I know, Battlefront 2 was computer only. I think. I don't remember what
it was on PS2. I think.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping that this will be for all, oh wait, I skipped a part there. Full production development for 360, PS3, and PC markets. So, you will have a platform to play it on, Glacinator, if it does indeed come to pass.
And there will also probably be a really bad motion control one as well.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, they... Yeah, they can't produce Battlefront 3. They got to hit Star Wars Kinect Adventures out the fucking door in under 10 years. shit. So there you go, Star Wars super nerds and Star Wars fans alike. Battlefront 3 rumors. And I do not, in 6 months, want to hear a bunch of angry emails or Facebook comments when it turns out to be bullshit. We needed one sort of happy story in this power hour of me being angry and Glacinator on the Battlefield 3 thing. So I thought maybe we'd just run with that. So, but if you do need to direct comments, evil comments to us, even though he no longer appears on the show weekly, Patman is our PR department. So, yeah, direct them at him. And on that note, let me do the exit spiel and we'll get the hell out of Dodge before something else happens. This fine podcast can be found on iTunes. It can be found at archive.org. It can be found at our website, wonderpodonline.com. We have a Facebook, Wonderpod Online. Search for us. Find me running around there. You can find Glacinator. Find John. We all have Facebook, some of us against our will. We have YouTube channels, either the 36 Weed channel or the WonderPod Online channel. The WonderPod Online channel only has some Minecraft videos, but you can check those out and check out the stuff like Patman Plays on his YouTube channel. Let's see, talked about iTunes. Could you please give us a rating or hire a bot to do it for us? Just don't get caught. Let's see, what else do we do? Go on WonderPodOnline.com. We have various and sundry different articles, some gaming, some wrestling, some shit that's a little out there. If the shit is a little out there, it's most likely mine. And we have an old-fashioned email address. It is wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at wonderpodonline, all one word. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter.
At John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
To get in touch with Glacinator personally, you're going to have to use a carrier pigeon. And we are not responsible, I repeat, not responsible for anything that happens to your carrier pigeon, but from the time it leaves your place, headed for Glacinator. Until episode 98, I'm going to go take an anti-theist and a super Christian and bang their heads together to see what kind of hollow sound I make. Maybe it'll be like a bongo. I'm out of here, people. See ya.
Cheers.
Send me all your carrier pigeons.
Be the Birdman of Alcatraz. Hey, and nobody mentioned Animal Crossing the entire show.